Spooks.
Well, we have hippity-hoppitied off to a very special fun land, and it is Book Picks, and it's with our good friend Matt Tannenbaum, who joins us to present a fine list of books that will have you turning pages and actually enjoying that process. He is the man in charge and the owner of the bookstore in Lenox, Massachusetts, which is celebrating a very, very special anniversary.
40th anniversary.
40th anniversary.
40 years. What does it feel like?
Well, yeah, well, what does it feel like?
Sometimes it feels like 40 years.
And other times
it's it was yesterday.
How are you celebrating?
All day, starting around 10 in the morning. Let me get there an hour early and set up.
Okay.
Refreshments.
So you come in at 9.
I come in at 9. Okay. The lines are already forming.
That's right. And then we're all the way into the town square.
And we're going to have refreshments. We're going to have an open mic. If you want to come and you loved a poem that you found at the bookstore, you want to read me a passage of something you wrote, you want to tell me a joke that I told you, see if you can tell it any better than I told you, we're going to have a mic. Or you just sit around and talk all
can
day.
Can I tell the jokes that you've told me in an open mic?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Most of them. One or two of them, Joe.
Okay. All right. Just checking.
Not that one, Joe.
Okay.
And music, but people will be playing music. I know Oakes and Smith are going to be there at some point, probably later in the day, maybe around 6-ish.
Yeah.
Other people are planning to come in and recite poetry after their day of work. Some people just stop by if you're in the neighborhood during the day. As I say, we'll have refreshments. The bar is open.
What time is the bar open? 10?
Bar's open, 10. 10. 9. Well, what time do you want to get there? We've had people, the bar has been a lovely thing. This
is the Get Lit Wine Bar.
Get Lit. Come in and get lit. You can get lit there. You can get lit here, and we have people come in, maybe 11 o'clock in the morning for a. It's been a tough morning, or it's going to be a tough day.
Yes.
Or it was a tough week, and this is the final beer at the airport before they take off. This is the kind of thing. So people come and spend a week at, let's say, a nameless health spa.
Yes.
In Lenox.
Yeah, and they've had just about enough.
They've had just about, and they'll come in and have a glass of white wine and say, see you next time.
Well, it sounds very exciting. I have one thing on my schedule in the afternoon, and maybe I should try to move that so I can get over.
Come on over. Just stay for 15 minutes. Stay for an hour.
If I drive all the way over there, I'm going to
stay
more than 15 minutes.
Right. Yeah.
I'm gonna bug
and see some people, and if people want to come and bring friends to support them, and they're all going to sit around and tell a story. I was there that day. No, you're not telling it right. We'll have that. I'm not going to record it. But I do want to hear people tell some stories about what their experiences have been.
The bookstore means to them.
Yeah.
Well, it's a very special place, and you make it very special.
Thank you, Joe.
It's a wonderful celebration.
It was a little place, and I when I bought it 40 years ago, and I think I've kept it small. It's the stock has grown and the breadth of what it does has grown, but it came from that root of just being that place. It's the only store I know that has a chair at the front desk where you can sit down to make your purchase.
Yeah.
What other store does that?
And because we want to talk to you and find out what's going on and see what's going on in the world.
I'll tell you about some books.
All right. Tell me about some books.
I'll tell you about some books.
You got some good ones.
I got some great ones. They've just reissued Really the Blues by Mez Mezro. Do you know that book?
I do not know
Mez Mezro.
Book.
He was a jazz player. He was, and he wrote this book, came out in 1946. He wrote it with a Yale graduate who had literary aspirations.
Okay.
Something.
Okay.
Bert Wolfe, who later became
aspirations. Yeah.
Not aspersions.
No, aspersions.
Can't cancel that, Your Honor. And later went to Hollywood, became a screenwriter, was a novelist. Also was Trotsky's personal assistant in Mexico. Guy knew his stuff. Anyway, in the 40s, he found Mesro, and Mesro was playing jazz. Mesro was a Jewish kid from Chicago who just got into some trouble. Parents couldn't handle him. They sent him up to reform school. They sent him up the river, really up the river. He found kids from the old neighborhood who had disappeared. Mez, here we are. And they said, Mez, listen, join the band. You don't have to do laundry. So he goes to the band leader and he says, guy says, what do you want to do? He says, play sax. I don't have a sax. Play clarinet and I'll get you a sax. He learns the blues because on the other side of the cell block were the Negroes. And they sang the blues, and he played the blues, and he learned the blues. And later he hung out with all this. This is early 1900s, so this is 1910, 1920. This is Chicago. This is all the Midwest. He meets Bix Beiderbecke and Pee Wee Russell and Joe Oliver and Johnny Dodds, all these guys who started American jazz in the 20s. And he also, I can say this on the air, I think, marijuana was not made illegal till 1937. He was Louis Armstrong's pot dealer. And he wasn't a terrible saxophonist, but he wasn't a great one. But he loved it. And then Bert Wolfe finds him in a club in Greenwich Village, and says, "Listen, you lived this whole life." Then he says, "I sure never suspected I was living a saga and an odyssey during all those frantic years. I thought I was just trying." It kind of reminds me of the bookstore the last 40 years. "I was just trying to keep my head above water, feed my breadbasket now and then, and maybe chase a butterfly and a soap bubble or two." Also, the book, the strength of the book is the talk,
yeah,
is the language. In the back of the book is 10 pages of glossary. This is where the Beats got their stuff. Allen Ginsberg said he read this book standing at the counter at the Columbia University bookstore. "Now it turns out I was significant. Man, oh man, it looks like you got to watch every move you make. You can't be too careful. If I'd known I was being significant instead of just hungry and beat, I sure would have changed my ways." Mesro.
Now, can I just say that, as you noted, this book has been republished,
reissued, right,
that's
right,
the word. But you, sir, brought in the good old 1946 edition.
First edition. I found on my shelf. I didn't find it. Customer found it. I had it on my secondhand shelf. Guy walks up to me and he puts the book down. I said, "That'll be $4. He said, the guy looks at me, had no idea who this guy is. He says, "Hey, this is worth a lot more than $4, and you shouldn't sell it until you read it yourself." So I took it home and I read it and had no idea I had this book on my shelf.
That is really great.
And then there was a paperback for a couple of years that did go out of print again. And now I just see, and I haven't been able to get my new paperback. Copies are coming in this week, I hope. I'll reserve a copy for you. But yes, I have this. Hopefully by Friday,
so
right.
really the blues and a wine and a poem and all
and
that good stuff.
And a poem and a song.
All right.
So
little
here's
song, a little dance.
So, and what he does, you know, how he talks is jazz, bebop, hatman talk. Kind of reminds me of you guys in the round table this morning. Going off in all your different directions, wherever you went, and somebody followed, and you follow yourself, and that's what Mez does. And that's
I think you're being very nice, but go ahead.
And that's what this guy does,
Roy Blunt Jr.
Roy Blunt Jr. has a new book called "Save Room for Pie," and he loves talking about food. He loves eating. I got to start a review of this book with a joke he tells.
Oh, good.
Can I tell the joke?
Oh, yeah, tell the joke, and then I'll tell it on Friday.
So this is a book about eating.
Yes.
Here's a poem. He says, "Our best laid plans will yield to fate, and we will say we lived, we ate." Here's essentials. Man walks into a doctor's office. He's got a carrot in one ear, broccoli in the other, and a stalk of celery up his nose. "Doc," he says, "I'm run down, tired all the time, ache all over. What's the matter with me?" "Well, to start with," doctor says, "you're not eating right."
Good stuff.
So Roy Blunt, who lives here in the Berkshires,
yes,
lives there in the Berkshires, and spends a lot of time now in New Orleans. And this is this a lot of this book is about New Orleans, about eating and being from the South. Roy's from the South. He's from grew up in Georgia, and he loves food and he loves language. And he's put together. He's the James Thurber. He's the Mark Twain of our time.
Will you? Will he be around in the summer?
I don't know if he'll be around that day. He's been to the store. We've seen him. We've had him come in, and we have a lovely time. Here's his song to pie.
Oh, okay. There's a song to pie.
Yeah. Well, the book is
Rob.
With...
Do you know the song to pie? No, don't know that. All right.
Before the song of pie, here's one, and I'm just opening at random.
Well, okay, but you have to get to the song of pie. You can't tease us and then not give us the song to pie.
But here's a poem. A lion, no longer in youth, grumbles, to tell you the truth, hold the antelope, I'll just have cantaloupe. I've lost my carnivorous tooth.
little Ogden Nash, isn't it?
Roy Blunt.
Yes.
Pie, song to pie.
Okay.
Pie, oh my, nothing tastes sweet, wet, salty, and dry, all at once, so well as pie. Apple and pumpkin and mince and black bottom, I'll come to your place every day if you got 'em. Pie.
Oh, that's great. That's very good.
Published by Farrar Straus, Roy Blunt Jr., Save Room for Pie.
Save Room for Pie, Roy Blunt Jr.
Those are the two memoirs. I have two memoirs, two novels, and two kids' books today.
Okay.
Novels. Ever since this guy, Patrick Modiano, won the Nobel Prize, the publishers in America have been translating his work, and I've been on this show maybe six times since then, four or five times. I come up with a new book every time because I love them.
I know you. Every time you come in, you'll have a new Modiano book.
And this is the title of this is In the Cafe of Lost Youth, and this is the story of a bunch of cafe hangers-on, and it's mainly the story of a young woman who spends time in the cafe with them, with most of the guys, and it's told from four different points of view. It's told from her point of view. It's told from the student's point of view, which you understand is the author Modiano as a young man, and then the lover and the detective. That's all I'll say. Those four characters. Here's the first line of this book, and this describes Modiano's approach to literature better than anything. There were two entrances to the cafe, but she always opted for the narrower one, hidden in the shadows.
Oh.
And that's the way. You know that room, that doorway? You're sitting at the cafe, and she walks in? You saw her come in. She came in through that doorway. And that's the way he begins his books, and that's the way you begin reading him. You come in through that narrow, hidden stairway in the shadows, and then he tells the story.
That's great stuff.
So in the Cafe of Lost Youth, published by New York Review of Books. The other ones have been published by Godin and Yale and a couple of university presses as well. I'm falling behind. I have like three more that I haven't read yet that are already out.
And what was I going to say? Oh, and Nobel Prize for Literature. That's what we have.
Nobel Prize for Literature. That's how I got turned on. So
yeah.
I didn't know him at all. We'd had a children's book that Godin had published, and he also was a screenwriter. He read the screenwriting credits for La Comme Lucienne about the French Gestapo during the war. So if you haven't heard of, if you've heard me, you've heard about Modiano. Come in, we'll talk about Modiano.
Okay, excellent.
Come in, I don't have to sell it to you.
You just want to talk.
What we do is we offer things for sale. We don't sell them especially.
Yeah.
And then you walk out and you say, what happened? Where's that $83?
Yes.
The next novel, this is the advance copy I got. The book has just been published, and Elizabeth Brundage will be coming to the bookstore sometime, I think, in late June or early July for her new novel, All Things Cease to Appear. Elizabeth Brundage, this is a novel. Has she been on the show?
She's been on the show. She's
she talked about
the book
one?
Show. She is amazing. We love her. She is one of our favorite authors, and I thought this book was extraordinary.
Yeah, it's the first two. I loved the first two. The third one I had a little trouble with, but the first two were, let's say a lightweight. First, a doctor's wife was she jumps in the fighter's ring and she knocks you out. The second book, the Somebody Else's Daughter, you get the whole, you get a wider perspective. In this book, All Things Cease to Appear, she goes into, she follows a character. She takes a needle and puts it under your skin and fills it with hints of characters. There's a line in this book. There's a episode in the book when Mary Lawton appears at the front door of the old farmhouse, and you know it takes place in Troy.
Yes.
And with an invitation to the church supper, and the little exchange she has with what's her name? Claire is the family name. Catherine's husband. What's his name?
I forget.
I'm spacing right out. And
I read it about four months ago. So
And Franny in his arms, an infant. It's just less than a paragraph. You get, I'm filled with dread. And there is so much foreboding. And she can do this. A good writer can do this with fewer words.
Yes.
She knows more, and she's not, doesn't have to tell us what it is. But we've. It's the reader who gets from her writing what's going on, and she's just incredible.
Elizabeth Brundage is the author of the new book All Things Cease to Appear, and it's a beautiful novel.
And I want to say that she's going to come over on Friday. Elizabeth, I hope you're coming over on Friday. We'll sign some books. I got to say, a little full disclosure here. Elizabeth's husband is my doctor.
Oh, okay. All right.
And that's how we got to him, because of they used to live in the Berkshires. Now they live over here. He's a great guy too.
Yeah,
but she's the writer.
Kept you going,
Doc. I'm feeling great.
We have him to thank. Thank him for that. Okay, we have about 3 minutes.
Okay.
So you know,
two kids' books. I hardly bring kids' books, but
I rarely do that.
I found these beautiful.
And you have a lovely children's section in the bookstore.
I do. Yeah. We have so much fun with the kids' books. Here's Jessica Ahlberg's Fairy Tales for Mr. Barker. Lucy is a little girl reading to her dog, Mr. Barker, who gets distracted by a butterfly. And Lucy says, "Aren't you listening?" And Mr. Barker hops through a hole in the window, and
like
pretty
you do.
like you do when you when you come into the bookstore, and they find themselves in Goldilocks's cottage, the Three Bears cottage, and Goldilocks sitting there, and then it's a collection of hopping through secret windows or down a basement with each character from a fairy tale. And you know who she is? Jessica Ahlberg is the daughter of Alan and Janet Ahlberg, who wrote, as you well know, Each Peach, Pear Plum.
Right.
Which you read as a child.
Absolutely. And this is also just a quick shout out to the folks at Candlewick Books, who do a beautiful job. And this is a peek through story. So there's all kinds of wonderful cutouts in the book, and it makes it very, very cool and fun. And the illustrations are beautiful, and the story is very cool. And
it's a whole total pack. It's an award winning package. Thank you, Jessica.
All right.
Last one. You never heard of Casey Stengel?
How could that be?
I grew up watching Casey Stengel, being a New York Yankee fan in the 50s from New York, and this is a kid's book. This is the third in the series. You never heard of Sandy Koufax, and you never heard of, I forget who, Willie Mays.
Yeah.
I didn't really forget Willie Mays.
No, but that's the name of the book.
And so published by Schwartz and Wade, two authors, author and illustrator, and a child's biography with kind of not dreamy but translucent illustrations, big illustrations, so you're on the field with Casey. Casey was this great clown of baseball who played or managed for all the New York teams from the 20s through the 60s, managed the Dodgers, played for the Giants, out-hit Babe Ruth in the 1923 World Series for the Giants, hit the first home run in World Series in Yankee Stadium. I didn't know that.
I did not know.
Managed the Yankees and then managed the Mets, where he said, I've been around baseball for 60 years. I've never seen, now I find new ways to lose ball games. Those were charming years for the Mets.
And this book is also happens to be illustrated by Barry Blitt, who is a wonderful illustrator for the New Yorker magazine.
Right, right.
And just does some incredible covers for them. So good stuff there. So, all right. For more information on the bookstore in Lenox, Massachusetts, here's what you can do. You can go to their website, bookstoreinlenox.com, bookstoreinlenox.com. But better yet, check out, go visit them. And maybe you'll even want to do that on Wednesday. Friday. Thank you.
Both.
You can go Wednesday and you can go Friday, can't you? Sure you can. For more information on the bookstore in Lenox, visit them, 11 Housatonic Street in Lenox, Massachusetts. You can also visit them online at bookstoreinlenox.com. Matt Tannenbaum, it is the 40th anniversary of the bookstore. You should be immensely proud of what you have accomplished in your community. We are very, very proud of you and very, very proud and grateful that you come over and talk to us.
It's what I do every day is look at books, read books, and sell books, and tell people, offer books for sale. And this is what I do on your show, too. You give me this opportunity.
Well,
and
I like when you bring that show on the road.
That's right.
That's very nice when you do that. I hope to see you Friday. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Joe.
Matt Tannenbaum, again, the bookstore in bookstoreinlenox.com, just bookstoreinlenox.com. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.